Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome when you have creative friends, but it's even better when you have creative friends that also make very creative but also deliciously creative Rings. Now on the phone with us, incredibly talented, incredibly creative, and just all around a good human being, celebrity chef, amazingly talented, all things Japanese street food, John Sugimura. Hello, John. Happy holidays, John. Hashtag Sushi Master.
Thanks for that introduction.
What you got going on, John?
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. And you didn't have to track me down. You didn't have to send me a text to get on the line. I was on the line with Josh 4 minutes early.
So, John, my friend that I had to, like, track down, he's going to call in after you, and that's the first thing I'm going to say is you're making me look bad. I just started working over here. Hey, John, happy holidays. What you got going on right now? A lot, I know. A lot.
A lot right now, but today's a good day.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I think, like, we have a lot of things in common.
Yes.
So the things that I can talk about right now with you that you're going to be right on board about is feeding kids across America,
right.
Feeding our yellow, brown, and black-skinned children,
mm-hmm.
Great food in the schools, making authentic Japanese restaurant-quality food, which is in itself a big task. But now imagine going around, I think I'm doing it in 21 states now, feeding kids great food. Because you know what happens, Miss Shannon, when you feed everybody a great meal, a meal that you can be proud of and a meal that tells a great story? The instant consequence is that we all have community together, that we're enjoying something together.
You bring community with the way that you, it's such a storytelling with the way that you provide food, not only from a nourishment standpoint, but going, here's something different, and there's a story behind the food that you bring.
Everybody likes state food with a story, but I don't think people give students and high schoolers and junior high and elementary level kids enough credit for how much story they want in their food as well and how much meaning they want in their food. Of course, we're never going to be able to take away pizza and burgers, but when I can feed 200,000 kids authentic Japanese food, when I can give them a recipe that's my grandmother, when I can make Japanese fried chicken rice bowls or karage don to 5,000, this is a true story, just now, in Texas, rural Texas, English as a second language, not primary, right?
Right.
5,348 kids ate authentic Japanese food, enjoyed to open up their world to include Japan, and that's more than I ever achieved in my first or second restaurant. I would feed 90 people, which was incredibly gratifying, but I like to feed 5,000. And our common with our other common denominator, who's serving the food? I used to be in special ed, and I would have autistic students sitting there doing karage don and sunomono, quick pickles, and fresh rice and all that stuff. It's really dynamic. I couldn't be prouder. It literally has lifted my life up for the last 5 years, unlike anything else I've ever done.
One of the wonderful things I think you also do is adding the narrative about the Japanese street food, because so much of what we forget when we're talking to our high school students is we jump to the conclusion that they're going to go, ooh, that's gross, instead of going, no, give them the opportunity to hear the history and the lesson and the story behind the food that you're being served.
Give them some credit.
Right.
Give them an opportunity to hear it. And again, I kind of feel like I'm an expert now, a couple hundred thousand kids later. You know, really, do you know how many kids have refused the meal in the last 5 years, 200,000 kids?
How many?
Three.
Wow. Okay.
They were never going to eat. They were never going to eat at school. They were never going to eat anything that wasn't prepared in a way that they had rituals and routines with. And there was no changing that, and I can honor that. So there was nothing going to change. Or they just don't like chicken.
Yeah.
Or they just don't like grains or rice. So three kids brought it back, because I always offer them, if you don't like it, bring it back, and I will make you an alternate.
That's fair.
And that has only happened three times. It's fair. All I want them to do is try it. All I want them to do is try it and open up their world to include Japan. But when we do that, we're opening up their minds. We're opening up everything in the way they're looking at, pizza. If you go and eat pizza, it's just pizza and it's 18 grams of fat. And all we're doing is making kids fat. Japanese food does not contribute to childhood obesity. And that's what makes me super proud as a kid with some chunk to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't need to be eating 18 gram pieces of pizza at lunch, you know, and so this is really has really, really just lit a fire. And for me to be able to take everything that I've learned in Japan and Japanese culinary school and bring it back and be all over the country, you know, it's just awesome. In March, I'm going on my next trip to Japan to craft another menu lineup for the upcoming year. Who would thought? You go to Japan because you want to travel. No, I'm going to Japan so I can do more school lunches. Isn't that awesome?
When you do those fact-finding trips, what's it like, the exploration process for you, John?
What can I do that I can replicate authentically, and I can bring home all the methods and techniques so that my grandmother, who was a chef, let's do a little bit of history. So my grandparents immigrated to the United States in 1917. Grandmother became a single parent after six kids. Suddenly, when my grandfather passed away, she opened up a restaurant in Sacramento, California, incredibly successful all the way up until 1942, when our president declared that Japanese Americans could not pledge their allegiance to the United States. And they built 10 camps. My grandma, my father, my aunts and uncles were locked up in Tule Lake, the second lake, for 4.5 years. So when I do food, I'm like wrapping my brain about what would make my grandmother proud. Because if I stay true to the methods and techniques and the hard-to-find ingredients, then I know that I can deliver something special in a restaurant. Sure. At a school, awesome. An entire district in a rural area, spectacular. It's just the win is just keeps growing and just mounting on top of each other. And it really does give me pep to my step every day.
How do you figure out how to scale it to the point that you could do it through an entire school or a district like that?
Girl, after 200,000, I think I can do anything now. I mean, like, in the beginning, I was like...
Okay, I know you a superhero. Oh, no, I know you a superhero, John. Let's play.
But really, in the beginning, everybody was like, you are out of your mind, chef. You are out of your mind. But now, true story. Yeah. How many pounds of chicken thigh for karage, Japanese fried chicken, do you think I've prepared in the last few years?
I can't even imagine. 100 tons. How many? Tell me.
Over 50,000 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if I can do 50,000 pounds of Japanese fried chicken, which is tossed in potato starch, which has 70% less saturated fat, which has low sodium, all the things that we want as going into our children's, our babies' bodies, right?
Right.
Let's give them something that their body will like rather than reject and just, you know, want to spit out. This is good food. Mm-hmm. 50,000 pounds later, I have so much courage right now. I have so much energy to overcome anything that I really do feel there are no limitations. And that's why this trip is different. So this trip, doing the research and the doing kind of the R&D and stuff like that, I'm really kind of going outside of my comfort zone and really going to try to do something that's not a pork or a chicken. It's not just rice or grain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I do yakisoba, chicken skewers. I do soba noodles and vegetables. I do the spicy beef bowl. I did that on the Jason show after I came back from Sushi Master.
Yes.
Iron Chef Sushi Master.
Mm-hmm.
And it won that competition, one of the six primary competitions. You know, so I know I'm on the right track. So I have the courage. I just need more time to focus and then break it down. And like I said, really, how do I maintain the integrity that would make my grandmother proud, that would deliver a recipe that you could see on the street of Japan anywhere you go, then it's all easy from there. Because, you know, I don't do this by myself.
Right.
You know, and I work for a company, a food management company, Tahir, based out of Minneapolis. And they just get out of my way and they go, do it. Do more Japanese food. Don't stop. I'm like, well, you want me to do a hamburger? You want me to do a commodity chicken patty? They're like, no, we want you to do fresh proteins. You know, everybody else can do commodity chicken patties, chicken tenders, chicken nuggets, chicken strips. Nope.
You're like, we already have that.
Fresh chicken. We have that covered, chef. We have that covered, chef. So when I come in the room and you sprinkle it with working with the students and tying in special ed kids and kids that have a variety of interests and a variety of capacities and a variety of skills to exploit, it's magic on top of magic on top of magic.
Well, thank you. And how can we support and amplify what you do, chef?
This is what I would say to you. Anybody that does food, just get behind food and know that it should be done with a purpose. Okay. Get real principled about it and take your kids out for good food on Saturday and step away from a burger or step away from, you know, that kind of stuff and go, let's try some Japanese food or something like that and open up our children's, our students' world. That's the biggest possible thing.
Well,
in the meantime,
yes,
just keep track and watch me feed more kids across America.
Thank you, chef. As the mother of a special ed kid and as somebody who I always call in a favor when I'm doing something for like the Autism Society and you always say yes, you know I appreciate you.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I should have said, you know, I'm working on a new restaurant concept. It's going to be intimate. It's going to be small.
Ooh.
And everything is going to be prepared right in front of you. So there's no secrets, no tricks of the trade. And the whole method to that whole restaurant is if you were eating at my grandmother's dining room table, how would she prepare it? How would she serve it? And what would she craft for you? So it's going to be delicious. It's going to be delicious. It's not going to be over the top expensive like a lot of other. I always like to sell my food a little bit cheaper, a little bit more modest price so that people can afford it. Because here's my last thing. I know you're going to. When I had my first restaurant, who was my number one customer on Saturdays? Any guesses?
Me?
No. For lunch, it was grandparents.
Was it really?
Coming in with their grandchildren, trying to give them an alternate food to the burgers and pizza phenomenon and no french fries.
Is that
so
what you're going to try for
my
now?
Food. I am going to try to keep that trend up. I'm going to try to have a table or, you know, have a restaurant where everybody can come in and I will figure it out because that's where I get most excited. Food for everybody, good food, food that tells a story, and food that supports everybody. And your son could come have dinner or lunch with me. That's the reference of my restaurant.
I love everything you do, Chef. I really appreciate that. And when you said that you were shutting down Pinku and moving in another direction for a while, I was just... I'm just really proud of everything that you're doing right now, and I'm glad that you have a different idea that you're moving towards. So happy to support and amplify whatever you have going on, John. It's just always just so innovative and creative, and you just do such fabulous things here in the Twin Cities. So thank you for continuing to support all of the communities that we have here.
Well, thank you, Ms. Shannon, for having me on this radio show.
Absolutely, John. You always got something great going on, so I'm sure we'll have you back on again soon.
All right.
Happy holidays.
Have a good holiday, everybody.
Talk to you soon, John. That's John Sugimura. You can find him on all the socials, and I'm sure when he opens his new project, I'm going to have him on very soon so I can throw some money at him. So I am pretty sure that comedian Tim Harmson is going to be on before we close out the show today. Producer Josh is over there nodding, so we're going to track him down. You're listening to 830 WCCO.